We've been looking at texts from the book of Deuteronomy quoted in the New Testament, and last week we did look at a text from Deuteronomy 25 quoted in the New Testament, not by Jesus or by one of the disciples, but by the Sadducees. And this morning we have a similar type of circumstance. It is a text from the book of Deuteronomy quoted in the New Testament, but not quoted by an apostle, not quoted by the Lord Jesus, but this time quoted by the Pharisees. And their point is to bolster an opinion they have with regard to the family. And isn't it interesting that last week from Deuteronomy 25, it also had to do with the family. This time it has to do with the breaking up of the family rather than the perpetuating of the family. And the text is Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verses 1 through 4. There is an outline in the bulletin, and you may want to follow along with that. And the basic idea that we're setting forth this morning has to do with the heart and the inclination of the heart and the work of the Holy Spirit upon the human heart. This is the point that Jesus wants to make in reference to the text that is before us from Deuteronomy 24. And I set before you this statement at the head of the outline: lack of a personal sense of inner freedom signifies our need for the freedom of heart only the Holy Spirit can give. Now, I know this is the case, that some of you have been in a circumstance, as I have been in a circumstance, where we just felt we were locked in. The circumstances around us seemed to dictate that there was nothing that we could do. We were locked in by those circumstances. And the problem really resolves itself to this: a problem of heart, because it's how we approach the circumstances we are in from our hearts. We're not going to alter those circumstances that are around us readily. But we do have to properly approach those circumstances from our inner being. And that's the bottom line. And that's what Jesus gets to as he answers the Pharisees who quote from Deuteronomy 24. So let's start with Deuteronomy 24, and then we'll go to Matthew 19, where this quotation is found, and we'll see how Jesus deals with the Pharisees. And in the first point in the outline that has specifically to do with Deuteronomy 24, I say, God tolerated divorce in the Old Testament. He did not approve of it. Let's read these four verses again. We're going to need to do this a couple of times just to get the flow of things. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house, and she leaves his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, and if the latter husband turns against her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then the former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife, since she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. Now the circumstance is a bit clouded, because in the first verse, what Moses says is that some indecency is found in the wife. And then a certificate of divorce is written, and the wife is sent away. And the objective of the certificate of divorce is to give the wife a letter that displays that the husband has sent her away, and that there is really some fault found with the husband. It's very interesting. Now, the reason this is the case is that this indecency cannot be adultery, because the law of God provided the death penalty for adultery. It cannot be a seeming adulterous relationship, because the law of God provided for a circumstance where a husband thought his wife was adulterous and certain procedures had to be followed. So these circumstances are not in view. And neither is it a circumstance that is absolutely trivial, like squeezing the toothpaste tube in the middle or hanging the roll of toilet paper the wrong way in the bathroom. You'd be surprised how those things come to loom large in relationships. It's not something absolutely trivial, but we don't know what it is. That's the bottom line. And the text isn't absolutely clear on that matter. All we know is that a circumstance arose, a certificate of divorce was given, and the husband sent the wife away. Then there was a subsequent marriage, and the same thing happens again. Now, this is not an approval of divorce. In the beginning, God said that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two should become one flesh. And God instituted the holy relationship of marriage. In Genesis, he says that. And in Malachi, the last book of the New Testament, God says very pointedly and very forcefully through the prophet Malachi, I hate divorce. You got it? I hate divorce, says the Lord God Almighty. And sandwiched in between Genesis and Malachi, we have this circumstance, which is given in Deuteronomy 24. And we note that divorces did take place among the people of Israel. How common it was is another matter, but divorces did take place. And there were certain regulations which were given. But this does not mean there was approval. Now, what does Deuteronomy 24 actually teach us? What's the bottom line in Deuteronomy 24? In the second point in the outline, I say this. Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4, gives no freedom for the remarriage of a man and a woman if a subsequent marriage intervenes. That's what the text is bearing down on. And the first three verses, I want to read this again. The first three verses set up the situation. Then, in the fourth verse, we have the conclusion of the matter. Okay? And so you have to read it that way. Let's read it again, and let's see if this is correct. Deuteronomy 24, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house, and she leaves his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, and if the latter husband turns against her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife, since she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord. You shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. It's a very curious thing. There is a marriage, and then there is a subsequent divorce, and the woman moves on to a second husband. Ring any bells? Happens, doesn't it? Then there's a second divorce. Now, the stipulation is, even if the second husband dies, the wife is not permitted to go back to the first husband. That's the stipulation that is given by Moses. And then we scratch our heads. What in the world is going on here? Why would this be the case? Well, I'll give you an answer. I'm not saying this is the answer, but I think it is an answer. We've talked about this many times. Marriage is an institution given by God in which the love of God is to be reflected. And we see this clearly in the New Testament. That marriage is to reflect the love Christ has for His church and that the people of God have for Jesus Christ. That's really what it's about. And we have a tremendous challenge, do we not? To love one another and to reflect the love of God in our families. It is a tremendous challenge. God, give us the grace to do so, because this is one of the principal ways that unbelieving people in the world see God. And so that challenge is present. But if this is the case, if people leave their first love and are united in an intimate way to a second love, where that first love is shunned and rebuffed, and individuals walk away from that first love and treat that first love in a scathing way, Deuteronomy is saying there's no return to that first love. And I submit to you, dear friends, it's a picture of the fact when people profess a faith in Jesus Christ and in a scathing way denounce that confession and unite with the world and with darkness and profess a love with darkness. And if done in a particular way, there is no return to the first love. It's a dramatic picture. And so, the softness of our hearts with regard to God is so important, is it not? Let's go to Matthew 19 now. Matthew 19. The Pharisees misinterpret and misuse the words of Moses to gratify their ideas of freedom. You see, the bottom line is, in circumstances of divorce, there is the desire for freedom. I want to be free. Grass is always greener on the other side of things. And now the Pharisees utilize Deuteronomy 24 to bolster their idea of freedom. Let's look at verses 3 through 7. Some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" And you can hear in the background, Deuteronomy 24. Just any reason? Any reason sufficient? And Jesus answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh'?" Jesus quotes from Moses. And the things that were in the beginning, the institution of marriage, and how God instituted it, and it's his ordinance. Verse 6, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." When God has brought two people together in his providence, is it the prerogative of human beings to separate what God has joined? No. That's what Jesus is bearing down on the earth. "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, God, what God has joined together, let no man separate." And that's a turn of phrase that's often used at the end of the traditional marriage ceremonies. Now the Pharisees retort. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Verse 7. No, Pharisees, you've got it wrong. Moses did not give such a command. That's the first point. He didn't approach the matter in this way. And if you are taking Deuteronomy 24 in this way, you are totally misinterpreting the text. Now, isn't it interesting? That we are all prone to attempt to use biblical texts to bolster our own ideas and our own desires. And it's devilish. And this is one of the points that Jesus really wants to bear down on as far as the Pharisees are concerned. What does Jesus do? Jesus restricts the thoughts and the ideas of the Pharisees with regard to their freedom, and Jesus introduces another idea of freedom. Look at verse 9 in Matthew 19. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. No, it can't happen for just any reason willy-nilly. And this whole idea of no-fault divorce in our culture and in our society today is totally contrary to the Word of God and totally contrary to the ideas of Scripture and totally contrary to the ideas of God. And here Jesus gives one reason for an individual suing for divorce. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, for fornication, and marries another woman commits adultery. That's it. From the mouth of Jesus. Now we can go to 1 Corinthians 7. And we can look at that text in 1 Corinthians 7. And we could take considerable time looking at that text from 1 Corinthians 7 to see that the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of the Apostle Paul, gives a second reason for the dissolution of a marriage, the departure, the desertion of an unbelieving spouse. And we've sadly seen that in our own congregation. But the bottom line here for us is that Jesus narrows the scope of things considerably. There is no-fault divorce in the eyes of God. And where are you on this matter? See, that would be the question, would it not? Verse 7. Here is what the Pharisees said. Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And what was the response of Jesus in verse 8? He said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Why? Because of the hardness of the heart. And what is this hardness of heart? It's a heart of stone. It's a heart that's hostile to the words of God. It's a heart in which there's a disposition which is inclined in opposition to God. And there's only one way that can be changed. And it's by the great work of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it can be changed. And I think this is really what Jesus is after. Because you can talk about this whole matter of divorce. And if you want to oppose the words of Jesus, that's an indication of hardness of heart. And it's an indication you need the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the same would go for other ethical matters, would it not? And I would pick on the idea of lying. And the propensity to cover the truth and to shade the truth. And I pick on that because the devil is the chief of liars and the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And do we not need the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts? And so I submit to you that a hardness of heart, an inclination of heart which is opposed to the words of the Bible is symptomatic of the fact that we need a deep work of the Holy Spirit in us. And I submit to you, friends, that deep work of the Holy Spirit is not far off. Would you keep your fingers there, please, in Matthew 19 and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 11. And verse 13. Verse 11, or verse 13 in chapter 11, Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? In other words, if there is a sense in your heart that you are actually in opposition to particular words of the Lord Jesus, and those words may happen to be words that have to do with divorce, and God is pressing home to your heart that there is such an opposition, you need to ask the great God of all for a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to bring your heart out of that hardness that might be present and soften your heart and make you pliable to the very words of God. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? I think so. And I think that's the deep challenge that's before you and me. This is not pie in the sky. This is not asking about, living a certain way in the community and having making a name for yourself. This is a little more personal. This is about your heart before God and before the Word of God. And your readiness in your heart to yield to the statements of Scripture. And if there is a sense in your heart of God pressing you because you have been in opposition to certain statements of Scripture, then you need to ask God to give you the Holy Spirit in your heart to make your heart pliable to the words of Jesus. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's go back to Matthew 19 now. You see, I say in the fifth point in the outline, if we have the hostile inclinations of hard hearts, we need the Holy Spirit to set us free. We really do need the Holy Spirit to set us free to obey the Word of God, because there is freedom, real freedom, in God and in Christ in following Him. And that's where our hearts will genuinely have a sense of liberty. And I say in the final point in the outline, we need the Holy Spirit to set us free to embrace the words of Jesus. Not only to change our hearts and the hardness of our hearts, but to bring us to the place of grasping and embracing and loving the words of Jesus. Oh Lord, how I love Your law. It is my meditation both day and night. That's what David said. And we need to be set free from a captivity, and we need to be brought to the place of truly loving and embracing the words of our God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Well, a lot of people would say of the words of Jesus with regard to divorce, that's dumb. That's dumb. But is it? I don't think so. Those words, that's dumb, betray a hardness of heart and the need for the work of the Holy Spirit so that we will love what God has to say to us. Look at Matthew 19 and verse 11. But He said to them, not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. In other words, your heart needs to be moved by the Holy Spirit so that you embrace the words of Jesus. And He gives you those words, not in your minds, but in the deep recesses of your heart where you incline to embrace them and follow them. See, and there's all the difference in the world. And if you have a sense of heart where God is pressing you, maybe it is with regard to this matter of divorce, and you are not so inclined to embrace the words of Jesus, you need to remember the wonderful promise of Luke 11 and verse 13. Ask for that work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's our challenge. That's our challenge. And I say, dear friends, if we would be serious with God with regard to our hearts before Him and pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, as individuals brought under conviction for that need, the promise of Jesus is a granting of that gift of the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would take from me hardness of heart. And I pray that you would take by your grace and by your mercy and by your power, any hardness of heart within any one of us. And I would pray, O God, that you would be pleased to so work within us, that you would dispose us by your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus, to embrace and to love your words, even the hard sayings that would come to us from time to time with regard to our personal lives and our personal agendas and our personal ways of thinking. Conform us in the core of our being to your ways, to your will, to your love, we pray. And in the words of the psalmist, fix our hearts on you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is the only Savior, and who is the one who does procure for us the gift and blessings of your Holy Spirit. Hear us in His name, we pray. Amen.